Hello, and welcome to Mangasplaining, the show where we recommend great manga to folks who haven't read much manga before. Hosted by me, Deb Aoki, along with David Brothers, Christopher Woodrow Butcher, and Chip Zdarsky. Follow along with our show notes and reading lists at mangasplaining.com. As you can tell by this intro, this week's my week. And once again, I am inflicting shoujo manga on the boys. Let's see how this goes this time. Today's pick is In the Clear Moonlit Dusk by Mika Yamamori. I assigned volumes 1 and 2. It's up from Kodansha. It is translated by Jessica Lathrow and lettered by Viet Phong Vu. It's kind of a shoujo manga in the sense that it's a high school romance, but it's featured in a magazine called Dessert, which is kind of shoujo, kind of josei. Even Wikipedia agrees with that description. Because the target audience is mostly girls in their late teens or women in their early 20s. So there's other stories in this magazine kind of tend towards, I don't know, maybe more, a little bit more grown-up romance, I guess, but not like ecchi romance. I'm not sure how to put this, because it's, you know, there is shoujo manga that is very sexy. Like we read Yakuza Lover, which comes from Cheese, which is full of the sexy time.
I think of Christopher singing that title all the time. More than you would honestly believe.
You're going to play that clip again, right? Aren't you,
David? I think I have to.
Please do. Yakuza Lover.
This is a manga that I'm currently really enjoying reading. It's, I guess it's hard to explain. So Mika Yamamori also did another manga called Daytime Shooting Star that Viz put out, and we'll discuss that in a little bit too. But In the Clear Moonlit Dusk is about Yoi Takiguchi. She's a girl with long legs, a deep voice, and a handsome face. In other words, Yoi is such a good-looking guy, most people don't notice or care that she is in fact a girl. Indeed, she's had the nickname Prince as long as she can remember. That is until she meets Kohaku Ichimura, the only person who's ever seemed to see her for herself. To her surprise, she's not sure how to handle this relationship, especially when her newfound friend is a prince himself, and a guy prince at that. Mm. This is a story of two high school princes. So, let's see. Who should I... I thought it was an interesting premise for a manga in that it's a kind of a tomboy, but it's not really one about sexual identity, right? It's not like she's a boy trapped in a girl's body. She's just a girl whose her look and her demeanor seems to have people think that she'd be a better boy than a girl. But she's obviously pretty straight. So let's see. Oh, let's put Chris on the spot. Why not?
I have failed the assignment for the first time ever and only read the first volume. I literally thought we were recording in another 2 hours. I did not pay attention to my calendar today. So I read the first book and I started reading the second book. And then I got an aggressive tweet from Chip, join us. I was like, oh no. So I've got volume 2 open here. This is what I like in shoujo manga. This is, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I do like that it is edgy, a shoujo manga about two people, one of whom is maybe still confused about their feelings, but is being very direct and forward, and one of whom is dealing with their own shit, but like wants to be the person that could respond properly and confidently. And there's just this like edginess, like they talk about stalkers, they talk about like inappropriate behavior, they talk about whatever, but it's all in like a firm fantasy, you know, context of like people in their late teens and, you know, early 20s trying to figure out this stuff and maybe be a little bit more hard air quotes, like realistic in their romance tropes. I really enjoyed the first volume. I was really looking forward to reading volume 2. I'm sorry, we got to talk about it before I got to it. Yeah. And in particular, I want to call it, I actually really like the art. I think it's got shoujo problems in that the artist is dropping backgrounds a little more often than I would personally prefer. But things like close-ups on eyes and profiles, the way the characters become super deformed is super cute as well. Like when they do the like little reaction shots and things like that, it's stylish. Everyone is really like model-like in their gorgeousness, which is also something I really prefer. Like going back to the 70s shoujo where everything on the covers is like loud patterns and prints and stuff like that. It's super cool. So yeah, I actually really, I mean, these two lead characters, it reminds me more of anything than Paradise Kiss, because these two lead characters are just shooting these devastating looks at one another. Like blue steel, blue steel, blue steel, over and over and over again. And it's just so great. I really like it. I also really like the curry loving friend. He's great. And he's better in the first chapter of the second book as well. He's like giddy. I get like real gay vibes from him, which is cute, even though he wants the girls to like him. So this is like such a like nice, relaxing read. Honestly, it was like very chill for me, and I like a lot of it. I don't love it. I think I want my shoujo to be a little, pardon my French, you know, star that out or whatever. Oh, actually, this is shoujo, so sparkle it out. But I do like that it is like there is a nice edge to it. It's not super soft, even though I enjoyed Love Mix Up, which was just the softest of soft, you know, shoujo. This is like a little bit like, well, maybe what would happen if we didn't go out? And it was just like, I didn't think he'd say that. Oh no, I have nothing to follow up with. Like, it's actually legitimately funny. So yeah, totally on board. Thanks for recommending this one. I'm enjoying
it. I also love jerk store moments in my romance comedies.
Yeah, right.
David, let's hear what you had to think.
Why do they need me?
Yeah, I like Christopher. I loved this. No, I liked it a lot. I just wanted to make Chris sound like he loved it. It's within two chapters. I knew what my next pick for the podcast was going to be. Kind of a similar story as this, but like a seinen take on a similar idea. But what struck me about this was that like the jokes were really well pitched for me, I think. Like there's one in chapter two that I only know from working on We Never Learned from Shonen Jump, where she works at a curry shop, and the word in Japanese for boyfriend and the word for curry are basically the same. Mm-hmm. So like there's some wordplay going on there, and that's why she's so surprised and devastated when he's like, you know, curry, can I have some? Because she's hearing boyfriend, can I have some? And I like the art. I like the poses and faces more than the layouts and storytelling. Mm. But I think it's not that kind of book. It's not like the panel to panel, like chopped up action kind of a story.
Yeah.
But there's a bit on page 98 in volume one, no spoilers for Christopher, where she's hiding behind a like a curtain, and she like flings it open and like adjusts her tie. And the guy's friend is like, oh my goodness, it's the prince. And like I've only seen this in Skyfall, James Bond, when he jumps off the train and lands and adjusts his cufflinks and then goes down to doing James Bondy things. A-plus moment, like super good. And so Chris likes this as a shoujo fan or aficionado. And I don't really have that same experience, but there were still a lot of jokes that I kind of recognized, or like tropes that I recognized. And that also made it sort of fun.
Any examples?
There was when he jumps down the stairs and lands on her, I feel like I've seen in a couple different things. Her knowing karate and just being like very casually, like very good at it is another thing, like a very sporty girl sort of a deal. Dropping the handkerchief very pointedly and then giving it back to someone while they explode into flowers, also good. And I love that the sound effect there is effect, you know? I'm sure it's like a loan word thing, but it's almost like it feels like a placeholder, but it's too cool to be a placeholder.
Well, Chip, I think it's your turn. Let's hear what you thought.
Well, I mean, I've come to the conclusion that I'm a Jose man, not a shoujo man. I love me my Tokyo Terabe girls, but I just can't. I'm bouncing off of these books pretty hard. Pretty hard.
You really liked the... sorry, I should have finished, but I'm not going to. You really liked this particular situation when we learned about it earlier in Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun. Mm-hmm. Where it was like the prince character falls in love with like another guy, and then all the girls in the school. So in a comedic context, you actually really dug this idea, but...
Oh, no, I like, I mean, the idea... Like
the actual
like,
context.
Even when Deb pitched it, I'm just like, oh, yeah, tomboy in love? Like, that sounds great. That's totally my jam. That's my jam in life. And that's my jam in stories. But yeah, the other title was like super funny. I loved it. Like I wasn't necessarily invested in rooting for the romance of any of the characters in that book. But yeah, with these, I'm bouncing off of it. Like I'm taking mean screen grabs, which I'm starting to not like to do.
Can you?
Just because, like, as I'm reading, I'm just like, what? No, come on, what? screen grab. And yeah. Now I'm looking at them all. I'm just like, oh, geez, you're just a dick. So, like, I'm trying not to be a dick anymore. in life and on this podcast.
That's an admirable goal. Okay.
Well, thank you. Like, I'm just recognizing it's not for me. Like, all the stylistic tropes, I'm bouncing off of super hard.
Because they feel unrealistic, or they feel stupid, or they're just, I don't know. Like, I'd love to kind of dig a little deeper into this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the characters, and I don't like the language. A lot of it just feels forced. Mm. Nothing feels planned. God, see, I sound like a dick.
I do agree on the language, though. Like, I didn't think it was a little bit stiff in...
Yeah, oh yeah. There's definitely a lot of moments where it was super stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think I just bounce off, like, the main... The trope that seems to run through a lot of these stories, which is the wide-eyed, terrified girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like...
That is not...
Yeah, well, and that's actually. Fine. Like, I think you know, obviously people like what they like. I just find it flattens everything so much for me when I'm reading it.
Mm.
Like, even though, like, you know, you've mentioned that, you know, they're maybe slightly more complex than maybe standard shoujo romance characters.
Mm.
There's not enough of that to overcome what I see as kind of the flatness of those kind of archetypes within the story. And also, it's just like, I'm always screaming up the title of it, like, Weekly Nozaki Monthly.
Monthly. I've learned it's monthly. It took me a second.
Even in that, like, I'm so enamored with the cast, with the full cast. And because this story, there are two characters, and then there are just, like, the chorus characters around that, like, every once in a while, there maybe it was a bit of a comedic thing or an awkward question.
Mm-hmm.
That unless I'm really invested in those two characters, and I'm going to bounce off the whole thing, and yeah, to me that's even in the kind of the cheap romance Harlequin novels I used to read, like, which was those were my college years. There was always something in the supporting cast to kind of balance out or bolster the main romance that was going on, and. You know, once in a while, like, their friends would just, like, kind of question the thing, or like, oh, you know, are you interested in them? Oh, did you spend time with them? But, like, yeah, there wasn't enough of that to really, like I said, balance that out. So yeah, I'm like, I feel bad, and like,
no, don't feel bad.
Yeah, it's
not all manga's for everybody.
It's true, but the fact that I'm bouncing hard off of the manga aimed at young girls makes me feel quite shitty.
But maybe, should it make you feel good, though? Like, what if you were, like, really into it? Like, there's stuff here that, like, I don't disagree. The thing about going back and listening to the episodes when we're writing the show notes and we're writing it is, I don't really disagree with any of your takes on, like, my love mix-up. I think that everything that you see there is, like, definitely a thing that's there. Like, I mean, some of the dialogue here, I didn't get the stiffness that you guys did, but, you know, neither here nor there. But the stuff that I like in it definitely outweighs the problems that are there with it. Like, yeah, people are being overly dramatic and, you know, in a silly way, in a way that, like, as someone who's in their 40s, you're looking back and going, oh my God, I can't believe that this is how people act. And it's like, did I act like this? It's like, no, I was alone. Different. But it's the stuff that, like, the fact that they're just, like, giving each other these, like, model good looks at one another, like, it's almost camp for me. And I totally dig that.
Yeah.
And it, like, elevates it way past any of those problems.
Yeah.
Like, I love how beautiful these two characters are and how cute, like, all the supporting characters are, even though I'm, like, and that's, like, an art thing, but at the same time, I'm bummed about, like, you're in this guy's mansion house and you literally can't draw more than, like, close up on a couch. Like, come on, just give us one establishing shot. Please give us one. And I know why they did it. And I know that they don't have to. And then, but you know, that's a bummer. But then it's like, oh, you know, Yoi, you look so, you know, beautiful again today. It's almost like there's roses floating behind you, which is a comment on the roses floating behind her in the previous panel when she's in the curry shop. And it's like, oh, this person is a great artist and like funny and doing cool stuff with the art. They're just not doing all of the things with the art that I want to see.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, like building on both of your points, like I wonder if this is taking a lot of things for granted character-wise. Mm. Like there's a moment in, I want to say the third or fourth chapter where like they mentioned Boys Over Flowers or Whisper of the Heart, like other shoujo manga. So in a way it suddenly became shoujo manga about shoujo manga, like playing on established tropes. Like the two friends, she has the dark haired friend and the light haired friend, and then so does Kohaku, like other prince. And they're basically the same characters, just in different uniforms. You know, there's the excited one who's like really in love with the thing. There's like kind of the slightly cooler one who still gets excited about stuff. Like a lot of them are sketches or like types, I guess, again.
Well, it's funny because like one of the thoughts I had when I was reading this was like, oh, this must have been what it was like when I was a kid and I tried to get my dad to read Amazing Spider-Man or X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or especially X-Men. Let's say X-Men. Yeah. Mm. The book I thought like, you know, was, you know, the greatest book. And I hand it to my dad. Yeah. My dad's like, okay, yeah. I'm like, don't you get it? He's like this because of this. And like, it's at that point, comics were about comics and like all the tropes and, you know, the weird things that the characters would do, like state their powers every two panels. And Wolverine would let you know that he is indeed the best at what he does. What he does isn't very nice.
Yeah.
You know? Except my dad read that and loved it, by the way. So it's not all dads.
Oh, no, sure. Of course not. Yeah, not all dads. Not all dads. But, and there's stuff my dad liked that I would show him. But yeah, but reading this, I kind of felt that way, where it's like, oh, like it's not, I can't see it as camp really because I haven't, or, you know, kind of the humor or like, oh, it's this type again. And like kind of being part of the joke a little bit, just because I haven't grown up reading this stuff and I haven't been in the world kind of long enough. Whereas I find with something like Tokyo Terror Reba Girls, I didn't need that. Like, There was maybe a level there for readers who grew up reading shoujo and then moved on to jose.
Right.
But it just worked for me just as like a story and character study more than this. Yeah.
The part of what I liked about it, I mean, maybe it is because you have to read a bunch of shoujo to feel how refreshing it feels to me. Like, there's a lot of shoujo manga that just feels stupid now to me, right?
Yeah.
Like, Fruits Basket is about a poor girl who moves in with these rich guys who are cursed with this thing where if they hug a person of the opposite sex, they turn into an animal.
See, makes that sense. I can get behind.
It is as silly as it sounds.
Maybe I need to go stupider. I think that might be.
This is eyebrow.
Yeah, this is. You know what? I think we're actually on to something here. Because this is like kind of pretending to be like maybe a bit grand in these like teens' lives, even though they talk like 80-year-olds. Like we kind of need like. I kind of need the hug that turns them into an animal.
Oh, so what I, you know, the thing about the roses and stuff. There's a manga that I just read called The Untouchable Midori-kun, which I'll give a shout out to at the end. But it's basically it's about a girl who is a porn star, and she moves in next door to a guy who is a pop idol who just happens to be her childhood friend.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so she's a porn actress, and he says, "Don't touch me because I'm an idol," and she's like, "What? Like you can't be serious." But and so every time he comes out, roses pop up in back of him, right? Like lots of roses and sparkles. So at the end of the chapter, there's a little short one-page comic about the roses. About the roses are like characters, and they try to pop out at the right moment. And then there's a moment where they think, oh, this is the moment, they're going to be romantic. And so they're all ready to pop out. And then the guy sneezes, and it's not romantic, and he's, oh. Then the roses are like all sad.
Oh, I love that. That's great.
I might recommend it because it just made me laugh so much.
Oh, that's a great gag. Wow.
The other story that this artist did called Daytime Shooting Star has one of those shoujo tropes that I find deeply problematic, which is the girl has a crush on her teacher and it becomes a love triangle between her, a guy her age, and the teacher. And in this case, in Daytime Shooting Star, the teacher is actually kind of into it. So it's like...
That was actually... But this is, you mentioned this in the show notes, right? Mm-hmm. You added this into one of the show notes of the previous episodes. Like, you're saying this, but that was huge. That got anime, that got multiple live action adaptations. Like, that was a huge story. K-drama? It got both a J-drama and a K-drama, right?
Wait, like, live action as well? See, I almost buy it if it's like just a manga and anime, because it's just drawings, sure, whatever. Yeah. But as soon as you have like a real dude who's like in his 30s or whatever.
No, mid to late 20s.
Oh, that's fine.
Way better.
I still find it slightly problematic.
Yeah, no, it is.
But, you know, and then like in the other book that we were talking about, like Sensei's Pious Lies, which is, this is the realism dialed up to 11 to a point where it makes you uncomfortable. In the Clear Moonlit Dusk is enough fluffy romance that it's a fantasy and it's kind of relaxing because it's like, oh, they're kind of into each other. And yet, wow, they're both actually really awkward because it's like the guy is, even though he seems really smooth, he's really awkward with his feelings too. And as you read further on, you discover that he's, as a rich guy, as a guy who people make assumptions about because he's rich, he's being bombarded with attention by girls who just want him because he's rich or because he's cute, but they don't really... He finds them boring and just not interesting. Whereas with Yoi, he finds her interesting because, one, she's not trying to be manipulative, or she doesn't have a hidden agenda. She's very, very kind of awkward, but honest with her feelings. And then he's discovering through his friends that he's not that good about, like, well, I think at one scene, his friend said, "You're a crock of a prince, aren't you? Like, yeah. you're just not a prince at all. You're not good at this." Like,
he's not prince material.
You come off as being smooth and handsome and stuff like that, but you're kind of messing this up. So I kind of enjoyed the story that way, in that neither character is a slam dunk, but you start to kind of appreciate, like, oh, maybe they do need each other.
But maybe like Paradise Kiss, they both should have been a total staff. And then you would have been compelled to read all 1,000 pages. That said, I still want to read it, but.
Well, volume 3 is interesting because then a third person comes into the picture, a guy who is more princely, who is more that she's more comfortable talking to. He's a part-timer at the restaurant. And so the screenshot I put it in the spreadsheet is the scene where Kohaku and his friends come into the curry shop and they see the new guy. And then he's making these faces like, what? There's another guy here? And he's kind of, you know, and then his friend's like, well, it was good while it lasted. You lost, you know. This other guy is clearly, she's more interested in him.
Yeah.
So I guess what I appreciated was, after reading a lot of shoujo manga where I felt like, you know, like the drawing is just not that good, or that the same face syndrome, I think what Mika Yamamori does really in an interesting way, she captures these really subtle expressions that convey these complicated feelings. Like, I kind of like what I felt about A Bride Story with Koromori. Like, Koromori does a lot with just facial expressions. So I appreciate it on an art level. And I guess I appreciate it on the pure escapism level.
Yeah, the art, I should add that I quite enjoy the art. Or at least, you know, like we've all kind of agreed that the faces, bodies, gestures, expressions, like all that was like top notch. The backgrounds are, you know, that's the part I'm actually getting used to in these. the kind of cheap backgrounds. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, even looking at your example here of the new guy on the scene, like, yeah, super attractive in a very similar way as our male lead, but different, just different enough that you're just like, oh yeah, like if there's no same face syndrome there with different hair.
Yeah,
they're kind of fully realized visually.
There's something interesting about this bit that you posted, Deb, in page 23, because Kohaku, when he first meets Yoi, says, was there always a guy who stood out like that here? And he says basically the same thing about the part-timer. Was there always such a handsome guy here? Mm-hmm. How far along is this series in Japan?
Volume 4 only came out last week in Japan.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's it's a current series.
Up to date. Mm.
Wow. That's cool. I wonder if that's going to go somewhere or if it's just, you know, a pet phrase or something like that.
I'm not sure where it's going to go, honestly, because it's kind of a slow burn. Like, mm-hmm. like she's just blushing all the time, right? Like she can barely deal with making eye contact with him. But at the same time, she can be very, like, you know, strong. Mm-hmm. And like standoffish, like, I don't need this, and I'm a prince. Like, you can see her kind of wrestling with this. Like, what I guess I like about her is that she's not just a pure, you know, blushing and pure innocent girl, which I find a little boring. Like, I think she's strong, but she's also used to the part where, like, I think she says something like, there's nothing I can do because this is what I look like. You know, like, she's used to not being thought of as pretty or attractive, or even female. Like, her female classmates at school give her gifts. Mm-hmm. So I like the romance part about it, where it's like this girl who's basically given up on romance and figuring, like, it's not for her. Like, if she is who he is, and the way she is who she is, just is not, like most guys will just disregard her. And then Kohaku's the guy who said, like, why isn't everybody looking at her? She's amazing. She's gorgeous. I can't keep my eyes off her. But then he says it in such a stupid way. Like,
Oh yeah. He says, conversely, why isn't everyone interested in her?
That's very 16 years old to me.
Conversely.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. That is stiff. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's like a weird version of saying that exact thing.
But it also makes him kind of out of step with everyone. Mm. In an interesting way that I don't know if it's intentional or not. But, like, he's a weirdo.
Yeah. But his, yeah. I mean, his guy friends talk like that, too. Which also,
and his guy friends call him a weirdo.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of the same way, right? Like, everyone assumes things about him, but nobody really knows who he really is. Mm. And, like, he's kind of like, you start to see hints that she drops in the later chapters of his home life. Like, who his father is, who his grandfather is, and why he is the way he is. And that's not really revealed in what I've read so far. Mm-hmm. Like, why he's kind of, I don't know, like, he's really kind of a kook.
Yeah.
But he's not like your obvious eccentric guy, right?
Yeah.
There's something really, to me, this is what I find really compelling about this, is that there's some shoujo manga aspects to it, but there's also some things that she's dropping subtly in the background that makes me want to read more and feel like, what's going on here?
Yeah, just reading the first volume, this could go anywhere. This could be like, okay, they get together, and then the problem is actually his family, where it's like, you can't marry some curry shop girl. You're like literally the daughter of a bit like a multimillionaire. Like, what the hell is this? Like, that could be the problem, or it could be the romantic triangle, which we're getting earlier. Like, this feels very much like a series that could be Boys Over Flowers and could go 27 volumes or 36 plus one. Was it? Anyway,
regardless.
There's a lot of boys to get over those
That's
flowers.
Exactly it. Like, if it stays popular, like, this could be a very long series because she's dropped so many hints that I think shoujo readers will recognize right away, like, the ways that this could go. Yeah. I'm glad I bought the second volume. Like, I want to see how that wraps up, but, like, yeah, after 4 or 5, like, unless it changes pretty radically, I think I would maybe be done. Because it's like, if it's not going to go somewhere really new, I think it's maybe not where I'm reading these days.
Mm. Do they go clothes shopping in volume 1? Or is that a volume 2 thing?
Volume 2, I think.
Volume 2, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They exchange clothes in volume 1 after she gets caught in the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that moment I liked a lot. Not to spoil it too much, but it actually made me think of Paradise Kiss a little bit, which had characters kind of wanting other characters to conform to their wishes. Yeah. And this one was almost more like, just lean into your skin. Like, this is you. This is what you're doing. If you embrace it, we can do a little model photo shoot together, like Christopher was saying.
Mm.
And it was really sweet, I thought.
Yeah, I thought that was nice because he didn't. And then she was like, wow, this isn't like most, you know, clothes shopping dates where the girl dresses up pretty and then all of a sudden he's like, ooh, she's really pretty. Like, he accepted that she dressed in a slightly androgynous way and thought it was really cute. And he says, look, we look good together, don't we? I thought that was nice.
Well, they both looked super hot.
Like, as hot people, we look good in the same photo. We should
Like that scene was just like, they looked really, really good.
I don't know whether it's just a girl thing, but for me, it was like, you know, as a female reader, it's like you kind of get off on the little simmering sexual tension that's going on. Ooh, they're getting excited. Oh, he might kiss her. Ooh, you know, like
when she might say sex was super funny.
That was like, cute.
He switches to intercourse.
I wish the translation was a little bit more crisp and clear about the differences between how they talk. You know, like you really could make Yoi talk in a very formal way, right? Or a formal, stiff way, and have him talk in a much more casual way. But sometimes I think that's not, that clarity of their voice and tone isn't consistent throughout the the book. And maybe that hurts it a little bit. Like she says, he's some kind of deplorable. It's like, wait, what?
That's a loaded word in English now.
Yeah, his introduction was just like, oh, he's like a bit of a rough, tumble bad boy, maybe, but not at all.
Yeah.
No.
I think they're playing with those rough and tumble tropes to make like an entirely safe guy. Like a bad boy who would never hurt you personally.
And that's like a trope in shoujo as well. Like he's, you know, awful to everybody else in the world, but to me, he's my like protector. Oh, that's so shoujo.
That's so shoujo.
And that's great. I totally love it.
But they didn't even really show that side of him.
No. But she knows karate.
The stalkery stuff, when they're talking about stalking, that was like a little bit like, I'm edgy, but I'm going to like protect you. And she's like, says that? Sorry. But like, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying there for sure. But definitely that whole sequence was like coded, this is an edgy guy. This is like supposed to, this is a guy who's got some edginess and some whatever to him. So,
I mean, two ear piercings, light hair, and like an always unbuttoned uniform in a Japanese school system. I mean, you might as well smoke weed.
But he's not like, you know, like the usual obvious rich guy prince character. He's not, he's not like flaunting his riches. He's not like saying like, I'm rich, you should love me, you know? Like he's, or I'm rich, I'm going to take you out to a fancy dinner. I'm going to impress you. Like, he's not doing the usual rich boy love interest things, which I kind of like.
Well, they're not playing it for comedy.
I think that came up once or twice, and it was always like him not understanding that she's not rich.
Yeah.
He's like, are you sure you don't want to buy that? And she's like, I don't have the money for it. Like, come on, guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An interesting little like wedge in their, or a complication in their relationship, I should say.
Yeah, I did like that part.
I did ask you to read volume two because I thought what I liked about volume two was when the friends come more into play.
Yeah.
Yoi's friend Nobara, who like start taking notes during their interaction, like, ooh, my BL manga. You know, this is a great material for my BL manga. She says, I'm a girl and he's a boy. You know, like, stop it.
Which I think is another joke in, not Nozaki-kun, the other one, Wodokoi. I think that's the same joke about BL.
I guess I was interested in what you thought, David, because you mentioned you kind of bounce off romances. But did this work for you in some way?
I bounce off romances, but I love romantic comedies. And for this one, the humor, I think, was on point enough for me to be pretty into it. Like, I would read volume three. I don't know if I would read it like immediately after, you know, reading these couple. But the setup is good, and like the potential for further jokes feels pretty high. And like the cliffhanger of volume two, like classic shoujo move. I'm not going to say what it is just because some of us haven't read it yet.
Chris.
This is so rare. We have to take advantage. But like it feels like it's waffling between full comedy and full romance in interesting ways. And kind of like leavening one with the other. So like the romance never feels too stressful. And the comedy never feels too slapstick. I don't know. It feels like it hits a nice balance, I think.
Yeah, there's a sophistication here for sure. Deb, I totally get what you're saying and what you're relating to in this, because there is a subtlety and a sophistication. But I honestly think that if this was a full-on comedy version of this, like a silly thing. I think Chip would like it better, honestly. Like, and it's just that there would be more for him to dig into with his sensibilities. So it makes this and then My Love mix up and some of the more like pure shoujo, I guess, that we've done, like maybe a little bit more just outside of his taste, because it's more for the core audience. I think it's a fascinating idea, actually. This idea of like a romantic comedy, something that's like supposed to be really funny and whatever, brings in more people than a pure, like the straight ahead romance, or even like a sophisticated or more subtle romance.
Mm-hmm. I do like non-comedic romance. Like, I've got enough of a history with it.
Yeah, but you're bouncing off stories about teenagers all the time, regardless of genre right now.
It could be just that I hate teens so much. Yeah, that could very well be. Yeah, I think maybe just because they're heightened teens. Like, they're not, like, they just never feel like actual teens to me. I need my teens real.
I've kind of wrestled with this when I'm picking books for you, right? Where it's like, am I trying to pick a book that you will like, or am I trying to pick a book that will illuminate an aspect of manga that maybe you haven't seen before? That you don't have to like it, but just maybe to understand that this is a side of manga that is out there?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't bother me if you don't like it. In fact, I find it really actually interesting.
Yeah. But we're still going to make you read it.
Uh-huh. Sure, sure.
My position on that kind of thing is always like, I know what makes it good. So like talking to people who disagree is always more interesting than talking to people who agree, at least most times.
Yeah.
And also only with friends, not with like randos on Twitter, I should say.
I will kind of throw at you the Untouchable Midori-kun. You might find it really funny.
Sounds like I would, yeah.
It's a hoot. It's so stupid. But it's stupid in a funny way, because like in this case, the girl is the super sexually experienced one. And the guy is like, no, you know, I'm pure because like I have to cater to the fantasies of my fan base. And if I'm seen with a porn star, that would just ruin everything. And she's like, give me a break, you asshole.
Yeah. That sounds like the opposite of Gigant, the Gantz guy's latest comic.
Shit.
The main character meets a porn star and it's like, oh, she can grow to 50 feet tall, even better, this is my new girlfriend. And just runs with it.
Yeah.
I was amazed they did the sleeping in the same bed bit with like no fan service or anything at all. It's just very matter of fact, like, this is happening now, and also we're both just gonna sleep and that's it.
Was that also where they cut to the great image of her cuddling the giant cat?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That was a really beautiful image. I think that was my favorite part of the book, actually. That felt like a really smart, fun, kind of weirdly romantic way of kind of showing that stage.
Definitely. Like, it's her defenses coming down, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the friend's leaving a note that says, like, we came in here and saw something amazing happen. You'll have to tell us all about it. It was also very cute.
I thought that was cute. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just like these types of stories. For me, they're refreshing and stress relieving. Cute. Yeah. And just like, it's like a summer breeze. Nice little break from the everyday realities of Tinder.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So anyway, let's go around with some final thoughts. Chip, why don't you start?
Ooh, a Chip start. I loved it. I'm going to read more.
Wrong episode.
That's next week.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, sorry. Beautiful art. Couldn't quite get into it. Maybe this genre isn't for me. But I can see the benefits. And talking to you three, as always, kind of illuminates for me what I might be missing in the material. So I do appreciate that.
That works.
See, that's me not being an asshole.
You got called out for not being an asshole in the comments of the My Love Mix-Up episode, actually. People were like, oh, that's how a mature adult doesn't like something and say it's not for them. Thanks a lot, Chip. So you're doing a good job. Yeah. But maybe you got to like one of these eventually.
Or else. I'll keep trying.
Yeah, hey.
How about you, David? What did you think?
I did like this quite a bit. It's not a love, but it's like a solid 4 out of 5. Like, really good, solid jokes, good drawings, I think. And it made me think of another comic that I like while I was reading it, which is usually either a really good thing or a really bad thing. But here it was a good thing because they share good parts in common. I was like, oh, I should also reread this thing that I have.
Oh, which
what
one?
What comic? I'm curious.
It's my next pick, so I'll have to save that for after the break.
Okay. Mm.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exciting. Okay.
A little suspense for you. But yeah, totally worth checking out. And there's really only two characters in it, like we were saying, but like there's some good banter between those two characters.
Mm. Yeah.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah, actually talking to you guys about it did maybe the inverse for me a little bit of Chip's reaction, where it's like, yeah, maybe this isn't standing out as much as I remembered, but I still really enjoyed reading it. I think that at the end of the day, I just like reading manga, and this is obviously like a well put together manga, and I think it does some things that are more interesting than average, and I think it has better art than average, and I think it's really fashionable and stylish. Like those chapter heading pages are like straight out of magazines. The way the characters stand are all very model like, maybe even too much for high school students, but I thought that was kind of great. So yeah, it's like a really solid book. I'm glad that after we finish recording about this episode, I can go read volume two because it's already loaded up. And yeah, it did actually help put into words. It's like, I want, if it's going to be shoujo, I want it to be messier, or I want it to be feather light. I don't think I want your average shoujo, which is fine. Even like as a 44-year-old gay dude, I don't necessarily need your average shoujo, but like I want my love story where the character is so dumb that it's hilarious, or I want like Paradise Kiss or even Yakuza Lover. I think I liked that a little bit more because it was so stupid. Like it wasn't good, but it was compelling, like just trashy and compelling. So I think that this is good for that. That if something is going to be sweet and nice, that's good. And I'm glad that those books are out there for the people that need those and want to read them. But yeah, I want a little bit more. I want it to be edgier, or I want it to be dumber, but maybe not in the middle of those two. You know what I mean? Or maybe both. Like maybe it's Raw Hero, but the shoujo version, like really edgy and really dumb, and really also somehow safe now for teens.
Oh, shoujo manga has this for you. Just you wait.
Oh, good.
Just you good. Wait.
So, Deb, what did you think then? What's your final wrap up? What did you think of this particular title?
I mean, this is one of my current favorite reads. Like, I eagerly look forward to the next volume. I like the art. I think the art's really sweet. Like that there's all kinds of subtle things that I can pick up on every time I reread it.
Mm.
Also, like, you know, like I've mentioned before in some other series, like, you know, with Blue Giant and some of the other ones I've read, like, I guess maybe this is simplistic, but, you know, the pandemic has been really a bummer. So I'm just like, I like this little bit of escapism. I like this little summer breeze of a romance that is not so pat and simple. That the guy is maybe complicated, but not messed up. Like, and the girl is shy, but not a wuss. Like, I so much of these romances are like, the guy is either he's a complete dick or he is way too good to be true. And I like that this guy is neither. And I like that this girl is innocent and sweet, but she's not stupid or weak. And believe it or not, that is rare. So this scratches that itch for me. And maybe it's where I am as a reader, as a shoujo manga reader, that this like, oh, this is refreshing and nice. Please more of this. So I don't know. Anyway, this is kind of where I'm at shoujo manga wise. And I thought it was a standout thing. So maybe like, you know, if you're a shoujo manga reader, you think like, oh, I'm sick of these romances where the guy is either or an angel, or the girl is stupid or unlikable. In the Clear Moon at Dusk might be your happy medium. All right, I think we gave it our best shot.
Yeah, it was good.
Someday I will find a shoujo manga you will like, but I also accept that maybe that may never happen.
Keep trying. Don't give up on me.
We'll be right back after the break, and this time we are picking books.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, we are back, and it is time for that magic moment when we pick a book, see whether, well, Chip likes it or not. And it doesn't matter, because he's going to have to read it anyway.
The lowest stakes.
It's not a competition. We're not taking any bets.
So this is kind of like what my accountant always says at tax time. He's like, you're going to pay the taxes eventually. It's just whether or not you want to delay paying the taxes. So, yeah. That's how I feel about this.
Okay. We'll try to make it as painless as possible. So given that David kind of teased us with his pick, I'd like him to go first.
So I was thinking, we haven't thrown Chip into the really like super anime side of manga, but like just a handful of times now. And by super anime fans will know what I mean. Chip is giving me a very confused face right now. But while reading In the Clear Moonlit Dusk, I realized that there's another manga that kind of riffs on the prince and princess of the school idea. And it is called Witchcraft Works by Ryu Mizunagi. And in this one, instead of there being a prince who's a lady and a prince who's a boy, there is a princess who's a very, very popular high school student who is a lady. And there's a boy who plays the damsel instead. So it's kind of a princess and damsel story. And basically, in addition to being super popular, very beautiful, tall, busty, rich, and so forth, she's a tower witch, which means she's basically the phoenix, let's say, in terms of power level.
All right, you're talking my language. Okay.
And she's utterly in love with this kid, and he's like, he doesn't know about any of this. It's all sort of like hidden from human view. And Witchcraft Works is the story of her trying to protect him from all the other witches that want to kill him or absorb something about him in order to bring about the end of the world. It sounds super apocalyptic, but like by issue 3 they sort of like put pause on the plot and just kind of live with the characters for a while. As a result, like the drawings get really interesting, the character designs are really kind of off kilter and unexpected, and it's a seinen manga drawn by a lady. But that's kind of an interesting angle on the fan service side of things. It's not just a dirty old man comic, I hope. We're gonna find out together with Witchcraft Works. It's published by Kodansha. There's 15 volumes out, but we just need the first volume, I think, to get the gist.
So what makes it anime?
It's how far you go with, like, when you recommend a book to someone and there's like the caveats you have to mention, like things you have to jump over or accept. Yeah. So like fan service would be on that list, like weird approaches to European sounding names. Like there's someone named
how annoying the characters
are. Yeah, how annoying the characters
are. How annoying the characters are is like...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all sound like downsides, but in the right mixture, it's an incredibly like potent combination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right. But this one, I thought it was fun. It's very lighthearted, very silly, lots of jokes. And the translation is by Ko Ransom, who's done a ton of books that we've liked before.
Cool.
I think 4 billion needles, 7 billion needles. The needles book that we read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
lots of needles
that you picked. Yeah. You should know the name. You picked
the one with no penises, which was very disappointing to Chris. And wiped all other.
I was disappointed. I was
many needles, zero needles.
Wow.
But yeah, I think we'll have fun with that one.
All right,
Chris, want to give it your shot?
Sure. Fans of the Mangasplaining show notes, and thank you all for your comments and messages, will know that when we picked this book on episode 64, I think, or a little while ago, I put a challenge out to all of you, because we ended up talking about the book Food Wars like three times, and I'm still not convinced that Chip would like reading the whole thing. So I wrote in the show notes, okay, Mangasplaining fans, let's get you involved. I'll make one of my picks the first chapter of Food Wars, Shokugeki no Soma. What are three other manga first chapters I should recommend to Chip for my next pick? Remember, first chapter has to be online and free to read legally, no scanlations. So the idea is I'm going to recommend four first chapters of different manga that are available from different publishers in different themes and, I guess, categories, genre categories and things like that, all available to read online for free. So you got to read all four, but they're all total, don't exceed 200 pages. They're the same as reading one regular book, and you don't have to spend any money that week, which is also nice. So I'm not like sneaking in. And then I was thinking maybe when we discuss that episode, we could figure out which one we wanted to read the whole book of. And that's like the concept. That's the high concept of my pick this week. It's very much inspired by David and his fascinating picks in seasons two and seasons three that are coming up. The one that's all in Japanese that's coming up. So the four books, and the one I picked is called Food Wars. And it's basically about a kid who wants to become like the greatest blank in the world and has to like, you know, go to school and train and fight people in battles, except it's about cooking and food and going to a prestigious academy. It's kind of like Kakegurui, but with cooking instead of gambling.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. The next, that's our shonen pick. And then the rest of the picks come from the audience. Our seinen sort of thriller pick is a book called Kokoku, Moment by Moment by Seta Horio. This is picked by, I think, Josh. Thank you, Josh. And it's basically about a woman whose nephew and brother have been kidnapped by a mysterious religious organization. And she is able to go into a world where time has stopped and see if she can search the world to find where her nephew and her brother have been taken. And infiltrating this base and finding that there are other people for whom that the world has not stopped. And
non-sex sex
there are grotesque creatures lurking red. Sounds a little sex criminals, except it's not. But there's like monsters in the stopped time that exist between the moments of time. So it's a little bit more Twilight Zone-y than sex criminals. The third book is another seinen title, but it is a comedy, a slice of life comedy. We haven't done one of these for a little while. And it's called Sweetness and Lightning by Gido Amagakure, published by Kodansha. It is about a man whose wife has passed away, and so he has to be a single dad and try and connect and raise his daughter, and they do that through cooking and through food, which I thought would be, was another suggestion from the comments. I don't remember who did that one. I'm sorry. I'll put it all in the show notes, guys. And it seems like exactly the kind of gentle comedy that I think Chip might actually get into. And finally, the fourth pick is not something that someone recommended. Actually, Jocelyn recommended this one to me a little while ago. She posted about it on her blog. Jocelyn Allen, a translator, and it is by a mangaka named Miki Yamamoto, and it's called How Are You? And that is a very pointed question in this book. That is not a nice question in this book. And basically, an American who's married a Japanese guy, he doesn't come home from work one day, and she's not sure what's happening. And she goes to find help, be like, track him down and for like kidnapping, or maybe he's hurt or injured in a hospital, and it turns out he's just disappeared. And she's never heard of this phenomenon, and her daughter blames her. And now she's got to be a single mother and deal with the neighborhood and deal with the police and deal with all of the stresses of being a foreigner in Japan. And it is a really heavy Jose manga that is like art comics-y and deep and dense. So we've got four first chapters that range from goofy fighting like food manga to like sweet, you know, single dad stuff to gritty science fiction drama that would be something that like David, I feel like, would pick. It's like very much a David pick, to just absolutely devastating familial trauma. And you get to pick. We get to read all four. It's exactly 196 pages total of manga, so it's exactly like a regular book. And then at the end, you tell us which one you want to read the full
quick,
one.
Quick question.
Shoot.
That last one you described, is all that happening in the first chapter? Like, that feels like the kind of thing where like a first chapter is just like, he's missing.
No, okay. It is intense.
All right.
It is an intense manga, bro.
All right. All right. I guess Deb, then.
It's interesting that David picked Witchcraft Works, because it basically reinforced my decision for the book I want to pick. And that is Witches by Daisuke Igarashi.
Oh, nice.
It is basically a series of short stories, not quite interconnected stories. The one thing they all have in common is they are stories about witches. And these are not your cute bewitch, you know, rub my nose and turn something into something. These are witches as they were originally thought of and why they were feared and their role in the world. You know, like they are women who are in touch with another reality. They're in touch with their instincts. They can change reality. They can do very evil things and they can do very good things. They're very sexual. It's kind of pagan. So okay. What's really interesting about this book is that it shows different types of witches, both modern and ancient. There's sci-fi elements. There's moments that are just incredibly hallucinogenic where they kind of slip into another reality and you see things on a molecular level, what they're changing. It's a very grown-up approach and a very like global approach to witches. I mean, it goes to Europe, it goes to the Amazon, it goes to Okinawa, it goes all over to kind of examine what witches are.
Are they different in all those places? Or are the same witches applied like globally?
They're different.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Mm. It's kind of supernatural and then also kind of slice of lifey, but also there's suspense, there's betrayal, there's romance. It's all beautifully drawn. It's by the same creator who did Children of the Sea, which is an anime that's on Netflix if you want to check it out. But he does he has a very distinct way of drawing that taps into the mystical.
He's the best. He's so good.
I think we mentioned him a few times in season one as like the exemplar of like, I want to draw a thing. So here's a story with a lot of that thing. And his thing was sea creatures and just like ocean life.
So this is kind of, I thought would be an interesting counterpoint to Witch Hat Atelier, which is cute witches.
Oh yeah.
And then Witchcraft Works, which is booby witches.
three witch books in five episodes.
First of all, Deb just sold me on David's being the number one pick.
Awesome.
All right. Okay. These are all interesting. I'm actually going to put Deb's first because both David and Chris actually sold me on it as well by talking about how great of an artist they are. Yeah. But I do really love the short stories. And I'm going to put Witchcraft Works second because boob witch.
It works.
But also, David knows how to sell a thing to me. Phoenix. All right. I'm in. Chris, I'm only putting you last because you have dared to go to the comment section to ask for recommendations, which means if I don't like this, I'll be directly attacking our audience instead of just inadvertently attacking the way I have been this whole time. And that's just really mean.
You're going to like all four. You're just going to like more of them better. Mm. And so you're more picking a favorite of the audience rather than casting any.
Oh, I see.
Making three people mad instead of one.
Yeah.
I think our listeners have gotten used to this. I mean, if they haven't gotten over Full Metal Alchemist and Yotsuba, what are we going to do?
Yeah. I thank you for getting a little book
about wind.
I'll sparkle that out too.
Yeah, please do.
We have a complicated history, but I think people know what to expect from us now. Just saying.
So just to clarify then, after this episode, coming up in the next few weeks, next week is Massive by various artists, then All-Rounder Meguru, My Hero Academia, Witch Hat Atelier, Moonlight Mile, the Japanese book we're reading. And if you're listening to this now, we're actually going to have a little note on the front page of the mangaexplaining.com website that links to
the chapters on Pixiv,
the episode, the stuff that you can read ahead with David's pick, as well as the four picks that I've done today, that you can read all of these for free online legally, which is very nice. So Moonlight Mile, and then Witches by Daisuke Igarashi, Witchcraft Works, and then the four first chapter special. So that takes us to episode 75, which is very exciting.
So episode 69?
All-Rounder Meguru, because Chip is punk.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I messed that up, didn't I?
You really did.
I'm going to just say,
just out of pure spite, too.
Read the very last chapter of All-Rounder Meguru, and you'll see why it deserves to be called episode 69.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not going to tell you more, because it is...
It's, all right, I'll buy it today.
It's amazing. It is so amazing. I just say that this is the type of talk that girls have that you don't want to know that girls have.
No.
Fantastic. I kind of want to get up to the episode, last chapter of All Rounder Mega.
That just makes it sound like the entire last chapter is about me secretly and everything wrong with me.
I wouldn't say that. Read it and get back to me on that one.
Yeah.
All right. That will wrap up this week's Manga Explained. It looks like season 3 is a really mixed bag and a fascinating set of books that will keep Chip and our listeners guessing. I think that's
what a mixed bag. Three witch books.
Three witch books.
Oh, we'll find another theme. We could all get boob books.
That would be very easy to do.
There'd be so. Oh, in manga, really?
Manga explaining boob month.
We did all the dick books, so maybe you have to do boob books next.
That's true.
Kind of a don't throw me into that briar patch situation.
Anyway,
are we doing shout outs this week or no? Because if not, I want to shout out Our Colors by Tagame.
Let's do it.
Because I got sent a copy. So we're doing Massive next week, big gay manga anthology. Mm. And Tagame's is you know, central to that book. But he's got a new book coming out from Pantheon, like for Pride Month, which it is right now while we're recording, called Our Colors. And it is a sweet coming of age book. And I was like so tempted to pick it this week, but I kind of promised the fans. I see what you're saying. I promised the fans I'd pick the, you know, from the first chapters this episode. Our Colors is probably one I'm going to pick in the future. I just got a copy this week. Pantheon sent one to me, so I guess this is technically sponsored. But I'm really excited about it. Read the first chapter, and it's very, very good. So my shout-out is Tagame's Our Colors from Pantheon, which is, I think, available any day now. Definitely by the time this episode goes live.
I like that Chris was screwed over by his own actual fan service.
You live and die by the fan service. Every mangaka knows that.
Definitely a lesson in there.
Chip, do you have a shout out?
It's funny, when we were talking about romance stories, I was reminded of my probably aforementioned love of soap operas because my mom emailed me this week. I'm just going to read it. The subject line is Ray Liotta died today at 67. And the subject or the body of it says, I remember when his character died on Another World. You were a toddler and watched as I cried when he died. When Dad came home from work that day, that was the first thing you told him. Joey died. Joey died. Dad was trying to figure out how I know Joey. And then, like, her follow-up was, Dad was very mad at me.
I love your parents' stories because they're just fascinating. Yeah, right. Mine are just dysfunctional, so I just love your stories.
It's just funny. Just apparently I was just devastated. I was like 5 years old, just running and screaming to my dad, Joey's dead, Joey's dead. I didn't even know it was Ray Liotta until my mom emailed me.
Shout out to Ray Liotta.
To Ray Liotta.
Legend.
David, yeah. What about you?
My shout out is... hopefully not awkward. The United Workers with Seven Seas, their _ UW7S on Twitter. Staff members of the Seven Seas publisher, who we featured a lot, they did like Blue Giant, stuff like that, are unionizing. And I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. People sort of taking control of their destiny in a way, like talking about what they need, what they like. Yeah, I just wanted to say hello and welcome to the party, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Do you know, is there a connection between them and the Image Union? Like, how does that work?
There's not, but I think that, like, as a result of, like, how unions work, they all tend to support each other.
Yeah.
You know, like a rising tide lifts all boats kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm. But they have all their info on their Twitter, and they've got their website, and they have a hashtag called Isekai is Possible, which is incredible marketing.
Oh, explain.
Isekai... are Another World stories, like think Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court, but more lewd. So it's like, oh, I died, you know, as a 40-something office worker, but now I'm like the super hot princess dictator of this like feudal monarchy kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wildly popular genre. Tons of different like flips and things. And Isekai Impossible is basically a better world is possible.
Yeah.
So it's like a clever little bit.
Yeah. We'll throw all the links and whatnot in the show notes
to
the union. We wish them the best of luck with their upcoming negotiations. It's going to be a fascinating one to watch for the industry for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard because manga just doesn't pull in a lot of money these days, right?
Yeah, it's floundering. It's amazing anybody wants to work in it at all.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I will say that, you know, like, I've read the comments, and I have, like you, David, I have a lot of friends who work with or work at Seven Seas. So, you know, I've had some people say, like, don't, why are you featuring Seven Seas books? And, you know, like, Blue Giant is one I picked, and Witch is the other one I just picked tonight, is a Seven Seas book. And I stand by those picks because I think those are books that deserve attention, regardless of what's happening in the world. I don't want to not feature them. I think they're an example of what Seven Seas is, you know, like putting their money where their mouth is, as far as like picking up books that are maybe a little bit outside of the sure bets, but picking books that are artistically interesting and have something to say. So some people may disagree with my take on this, but I think I support what they're doing, but I don't want to do it at the expense of not giving great books attention that it deserves to have.
And I think they said similar on Twitter too, that the goal is not a boycott, because like everyone in manga who works in manga does it because they love it, is the cliche or whatever, but it's true, you know? So they're saying like, don't stop buying stuff. Just, you know, tell their bosses like, hey, we really appreciate the people who work on these books, and can you please give them a hand?
Yeah. It'd be a different situation if, you know, it's down the road and they're on strike.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But like at this stage between the company and a union forming, like,
yeah,
like those people are still working there and rely on the job. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's a good way to address that issue. We'll see, because we do record fairly far in advance. And so who knows what will actually be,
what will happen
within the next 4 to 5 weeks between the time we record and when we actually release it. So
we might find out about the evil manga splaining bump.
Yeah. Great.
We live in interesting times. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show notes are usually up to date. That's something.
That's true.
That's something.
Yeah, there you go.
They're at the moment, yes.
Mongasplaining regrets the error. Mongasplaining regrets the error.
I guess my pick is the one that I mentioned earlier, which is The Untouchable Midori-kun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About a girl who is a porn star meeting her childhood friend who is now a pop idol, and that, let's just say it's a awkward little romantic comedy that makes fun of shoujo manga while also introducing awkward sex moments. I like it a lot.
Awkward sex.
Great. Yeah.
Great.
And the first chapter is available for free. I actually just looked it up. I was going to maybe make that the fourth pick instead of one of the other reader picks, listener picks. And I was like, no, we've already stolen one of their picks and given it to Jocelyn, who didn't even ask. So let's do that. But that sounds like a fun book. We'll link that in the show notes, obviously, as well.
Well, it looks like we got through another manga-splaining. It was a fun ride. Thank you for coming along with me on my little, I'm going to shove shoujo down your throat, whether you like it or not. Thank you for being good sports.
Is that a threat or a promise?
Ooh, it's both. All right. Stay tuned for more. We'll be back with even more manga-splaining next week. This has been Mangasplaining Episode 67, In the Clear Moonlit Dusk by Mika Yamamori. Thanks for listening. For our next episode, we'll be reading Massive, Gay Erotic Manga and the Men Who Make It, featuring manga by Gengoro Tagame, Jiraiya, and more, published by Fantagraphics. Want to pick up a copy? Please consider supporting your local comic book and manga specialty shop. Find one near you at comicshoplocator.com, or check out your local library for print and digital lending options. You can also follow along with our complete reading list at mangasplaining.com. And don't forget to check out our newsletter and our publishing endeavor at mangasplainingextra.com. Thanks to DADS for their musical accompaniment for this episode.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.